Welcome back, everyone, or hello if you're new. Welcome to Perfect Time Podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Charlotte Renee, and you guys already know what's up. I have Ian back. If you guys remember him back from, like, what was it, February? It's been a minute, but I have him back, and we're going to be talking about everything he's got going on. He has this Teen Tech Live event going on that I'm going to be co-hosting, which I'm super excited for, but let's get straight on into it. Welcome back, Ian.
Woo-woo, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me, Sydney. The first podcast, geez, that was, like you said, it was February. We were talking for like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. So I'm excited about this one.
that one was supposed to be just a half hour. And then we just kept going and just made it a two-parter. Which, was that my first two-parter? Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. But yeah, that was fun. So hopefully we can keep it in the time this time.
Hopefully, but we'll see. If we got to edit, we'll edit it.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you guys who are just now being introduced to Ian, he is considered the new nerd. And, you know, he's a motivational speaker and entrepreneur and just coming up in the world and an author to be as well. And he's been, for the past couple of years, empowering, like, young people of color to get into coding and technology and letting them know that they can be the ones creating it and not just consuming it, which goes straight into what his Teen Tech Live event is about, which is like letting people know all these kinds of things. And like, we're having amazing guests on there, but I'll let Ian explain all that. So let's go straight into that. So what is the Teen Tech Live event?
So yeah, Teen Tech Live, this is an event that was created from the company that I co-founded, Dream Hustle Code. And so the whole idea of this event is to show my underrepresented kids in tech the possibilities for themselves, because a lot of Black and brown kids or kids in our communities, we don't tend to see people who look like us in the tech space. We have so many examples in the entertainment industry, the sports industry, even social media influencers who look like us. And that's why you have so many kids who strive to go in those different fields. But in tech, not so much. The only person you could really think of is Mr. Robert F. Smith, but that's not enough. And so Teen Tech Live 2.0, this is our second edition of it, is to really show kids examples of people who look like them, where we have these engaging conversations with people in tech who share their experiences, share how they got there, and share the lessons that they learned along their journey. And so the best way to put it is, if you could wrap your head around Teen Tech Live being the combination of CES in Las Vegas, Coachella, as well as a massive gaming tournament all in one. And so we're hosting this event on December 10th, 2021, Friday. And so our goal is to have 25,000 students be a part of this amazing event. So we're going to, for the first 2.5 hours, we have speakers come in, share their stories in tech. We have a billionaire tech entrepreneur coming on. And we also have a guest speaker, NBA future Hall of Famer, multiple time NBA All-Star, and even won an NBA champion come on board. Can't say his name just yet, but just know we have a special guest coming on board. Mm-hmm. And on top of this amazing 2.5 hour of event where we have these engaging conversations in tech, coding, gaming, as well as entrepreneurship, we also have a massive gaming tournament with a prize pool of $5,000 worth of prizes. So for any of my gamers out there that love to hop on either COD or Warzone or Fortnite, or maybe even 2K, we're still finalizing the game. If you're trying to hop on and win a prize, there's your chance. So yeah, Teen Tech Live is to show kids the possibilities for themselves in tech, how they can get in the tech space, while also having opportunities to win a bunch of prizes and have fun. And that's the whole idea of it.
Yeah, and I love that because, you know, you already know how much I supported you with your Dream Hustle Code and all that. And, you know, me wanting to get into computer science, maybe myself, and seeing what that world is kind of like, I think it's really interesting how you're taking time to let these kids know that this kind of stuff is cool and not just for nerds, I guess you could say. But but that goes into like my next question for you about like, why do you think it's important that these kids know that they can see themselves in these fields? Because being like African American and, you know, like seeing these different fields and things like that, we tend to only see ourselves in fields that we already do. And so for me, like, I think we talked about this last time when I last interviewed you, like how, while she's not the only option, like Missy Coleman was the only person I really saw doing ballet, which is why I resonated with it so much. So, you know, like, give us some example as to why, like, it's important that kids should get into technology.
Well, it's important. You covered two things: why it's important to see people and why it's important to be in the tech space. But to be, it kind of starts with how I got started in the tech space. And I shared this in the first podcast. I'm going to still say it again. Why not for the people that weren't there? But the whole reason why I got into tech was because I saw somebody, my favorite basketball player, in a tech video, right? It all started with that video that my mom came across on Facebook that was titled "What Most Schools Don't Teach." And when I first watched that video, I thought it was boring because I saw people like Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, but I was 8 years old at the time and I had no clue who those people were, right? It just sounded like older white guys just telling me to do something. I was like, no offense to them, I love them now, I respect them, and they're doing some amazing things in the tech space. I just couldn't really care less because all I cared about was playing ball. I wanted to go to the league. But what grabbed my attention was the fact that I saw two-time NBA champ, Mr. Chris Bosh, and actually now NBA Hall of Famer. He started talking about his experiences with learning to code and how he thought coding was cool. So seeing somebody, number one, that looked like me, number two, that I could relate to, and number three, somebody that I looked up to, that's what really grabbed my attention. So seeing people that look like us in the tech space is important. And tech is to answer the second part, tech is super critical to get into because think about it like this. Every single thing that is a part of our lives, whether it be food, clothes, transportation, or houses, is touched by technology in some way, shape, or form, whether it was programmed or created using technology. And so it's important to understand how to use tech, how to program it. And like you said earlier, our mission is to turn our people from consumers of tech to becoming creators, because that's where the real wealth is built. If you look in like the top 10 wealthiest people on the planet, I believe at least 5 of them have made their wealth in the tech space. And so having that just goes to show that being a part of technology is super important and can help you create wealth for yourself. But there's also so much opportunity in the space. And so that's why I've been on this 8 year journey. Jeez, 8 years. That's crazy. But this 8 year journey to really show underrepresented kids the possibilities in tech and eventually build the pipeline to get them into that space.
Yeah. And I agree with that because, you know, like you said, like tech is all around us, like at all times, and, you know, like we're always on our phone. We're always figuring out like how to do certain things. And it's like getting into like things like STEM and things like that. People do that for a reason. It's not just a boring seminar that you have to sit through. It's actually interesting. So I actually, you know, thought of like, you know, computer science and like what I want to do with that. I have an older brother who has a degree in IT and things like that. And it's like, whenever we have like an issue, he's the one that we go to. I'm like, my phone's not working. What's up? Like, can you reset the router? Like, he's the one that we always go to. But, you know, I really think that technology is something that a lot of people should somewhat get into, depending on like how they want to do it and things like that. But yeah, I agree with that. And so talking about like how like that mentorship and everything is so important, you know, like, and you're also like a motivational speaker and things like that. So talk about how like mentorship has like changed you and like how you used to like change other kids' lives.
Mentorship, meaning mentors in my life or me mentoring others or both?
Let's do both.
All right. So let's do how mentors have impacted my life. Mentors, and really just a very amazing support system. And I could even say that my parents are my mentors. Mentors are the reason why I've been able to come this far along my journey. The reason, and of course, God, of course, because, you know, he's the reason why I'm here in the first place. But so many doors have been opened and so many opportunities that I've been able to come across were because of a mentor that I had. The reason why I was able to speak at the BET Awards in 2019 and share my mission on the main stage at the red carpet was because of a mentor that I have with Mr. Lewis Carr. The reason why I was able to interview Miss Oprah Winfrey for my book about highly successful kids was because of a mentor I had, Mr. Shaka Singur. The reason why I was able to speak in front of some amazing different places and also to be a part of another organization in the beginning of the pandemic last year was because of a mentor, Mr. Jeff Hoffman. So mentors, again, they've opened the doors to some amazing opportunities and they've made it easier for me to continue doing the work that I love so much doing to this day. Now, the ability to mentor other people, whether it be kids younger than me or people older than me, that really has just been a blessing because before I started doing that, I kind of had a little bit of imposter syndrome. Like, I didn't know if I was worthy enough to do what the work I was supposed to do. It felt like, am I supposed to be in this room? Am I supposed to be doing this? Right. Even though I would be speaking in some amazing rooms and be talking to some amazing people. It was just like, I don't know. Am I supposed to be here?
Yeah.
But like when I had the chance to mentor others and like face to face or on webinar, because that's what was happening during the pandemic, it really was. And I saw the direct impact and I saw that the lessons I was giving was working and helping others. That's when I was like, okay, it's working. And so by mentoring others, not only is it does it give me an outlet to impact other people's lives, but this is something my dad told me, is that when you teach somebody else something, that's how you know you're really good at it or you're close to mastering it. That's how you get better. If you can teach it to somebody else, you're good to go. That's when you fully understand something. So it's kind of like a two-way street when it comes to mentorship and also being a mentee. So I'd say that's how it's really impacted my life, in both being a mentee and a mentor.
Yeah. I'm the exact same way when it comes to like imposter syndrome. Like you said, like speaking in front of like amazing people and like been a part of so many initiatives that I'm so proud of. And then I still can like look at myself and be like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, it's kind of like, was I actually meant to be here? Was I actually meant to speak to these people and things like that? And people tell me that all the time. And, you know, like the support has been like amazing, but like, there's still some times where it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a normal thing. And so I'm curious just to know, like, how did you get past that, like the imposter syndrome, even though like it could come every now and then, as it does for me as well. But how did you see past that?
So it's weird because when I was really young, like I was fearless. I mean,
I'm the exact opposite.
That's funny. but it was weird because I took Kung Fu when I was younger. I took martial arts. And so I was like the smallest kid in my program, but I would whoop somebody that was a foot taller than me, right? I swear I was that raw. There was this kid named Alfonso in my class. He was like almost a black belt at age 13 or 12 or something like that. They said I was going to be better than Alfonso. That's how good I was. And so like I had all types of confidence. I was fearless. I didn't care. I stopped doing Kung Fu and then that self-doubt started coming along. And I was like starting to become self-conscious about myself. And that kind of applied into my business. But what allowed me to become, I guess, more confident and believe in what I was doing and the mission was just doing it more. Whenever I was speaking in front of people and I was just like, am I good enough? What got me to the point where I was confident enough to be there was practicing. That's how I was able to get better. Or that's how where that imposter syndrome left was just doing it over and over again. You start doing it once in front of an audience of 100 people. Okay. Do it 10 times. You're like, oh, I got this. Doing it in front of 15,000 people at the Allstate Arena. Cool. Smooth. And then you might take a 6-month break, not speak in front of everybody, come back and you're like, you about to throw up in the hallway again. But what it has allowed me to have more confidence is just, and really kind of, some people will say swagger, but it's, or cockiness. It's just me being like, hey, I know I belong here. Is really just doing it over and over and over again. And then on top of that, seeing the results or the impact from other people. That's what really is just like, okay, I'm on the road. Let me just keep doing it. Why stop now?
Yeah. That's so funny. I was the exact opposite. when I was younger, I was so shy. You could not get, you could not get me to talk to anyone. I had my book, right? I would read like just fiction books all the time. Like that's where I would be like, if you were trying to talk to me and if I wasn't paying attention, it's because I was reading and not listening. So I would bring it to parties and stuff. I would ball my mom around in Targets just reading and I just did not want to engage.
You must be really smart then. I mean, because you carried a book. You got to be so smart. That's a good thing. You always got to look at the
bright side. Yeah, I was smart, but I wasn't social like at all. And so like, you know, like there's like some type of like loneliness that comes with that. And so like, it took like self-realization and then my mom being like, Sydney, like, why don't you like break out a little more and like push me out of my comfort zone? Like, and I was like, no. So, but when I finally like submitted to that and like gave into that, I became like more and more and more confident. And it's kind of like a learning process. Like I still have my days where I'm kind of like, is this outfit too much? Like people ask me, they're like, I think I did like this question thing on Instagram where like, you know, I think I said something like, give me an assumption about me and like I'll give you one return, something fun like that. And right. someone was like, I feel like you're really confident in what you wear and like you don't really care about like what other people think. And I'm like, that is so not true. Like I always feel like overdressed, but I do it because one, I love clothes and I love to like feel put together and like just dress nice. And so, but I always feel overdressed and people are like, Sydney, like this is like a casual party. I'm like, I want it to feel cute. So this is what I put on. So, but it took me a while to get there. If I just like walked around letting other people like dictate what I wear and like things like that, like I would never feel comfortable with myself. So it took a lot of like self realization and like pushing from my mom. And like you said, like the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Like public speaking is like my favorite thing to do now, which I don't think I would ever say. Like if I told my 12-year-old self that I had like this international podcast where I talk in front of people, like I think last month I spoke in front of my school for their open house out of my entire graduating class. Like they chose me and I was like, wow. And you know, like it's just stuff like that. And it's a lot of like learning and like growing from it. So I am now as confident as ever.
It's funny you say that, right? Because it's like as a teenager, I feel like that's when, you know, the people are the most or the least confident in themselves because they're like worried yeah. about how other people view them. But like, it's funny because you said something about going to a party and like being like dressed up or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just went to a party on Friday, right? And so honestly, this wasn't even a party. It was a kickback. It was my friend's 18th.
Okay.
It was a kickback, right? And so I was like, should I just come in? I was debating whether I should just go in some hoodies and some gym shoes. I was like, you know what? I might as well just come in and stand out. That's what I got to do. So I threw on my little sweatshirt. I put on a fur coat and some dress mm-hmm. shoes and some jeans, and I walked in there, right? Okay. But the thing is, it's like, when it comes to doing those type of things, sometimes you just have to say, you just have to make the decision to just do it, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to throw yourself in the lines then and just say, you know what? I'm going to fight my way out of here and figure it mm-hmm. out from there. Mm-hmm. And so when the thing that, honestly, and I heard this from somebody, from a YouTuber, he said, what makes you so anxious and what makes you so less confident in yourself is when you think about it too much, right?
Yeah.
The more you think about it, the more you're like, do I really want to do this? I don't really know. You start second guessing.
That's exactly yeah.
Right. If you just throw yourself out there and just go do it, then it's like, okay, and you're just in it. And now you just have to figure it out from there. But then you start getting on the road. It's like, okay, I'm not that bad. I actually don't suck. I'm pretty decent.
We will be right back after this break.
Hi, if you're into wellness and fitness and would like to purchase some apparel, come check out KumaFitnessAndApparel.com, where we will give you 20% off your first purchase of $100 or more. So come on down and check out Kuma Fitness and Apparel.
This is Sydney Chandler-Lene, and I'm so excited to share with you my international podcast, Perfect Timing, that will be broadcasting on Mondays at 2 p.m. through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so much more. We will have outstanding guests that will talk about their passions, goals, and dreams. Make sure you tune in and have a seat at the table where we will create a voice for us every Monday at 2 p.m. This is Sydney Collins of Perfect Timing.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, I'm here with Ian, Dream Hustle Code, the new nerd, and let's get straight back into it. So we were just talking about, during this break, our age, right? Ian, why don't you repeat what you said? I just want my listeners to know. What's up?
What do you mean by that? Like, what did I say that was, you know, so intriguing?
Wait, you said you're whatever age you have to be, but explain that. I'm a bit lost.
So look, in you have to use your, I guess, you have to use the tools you were given. Let me just say that first and foremost. Okay. So sometimes in certain situations, especially in business, it is better to appear to be younger, right? Because when you're younger, you know, especially as a black man a black male in this country, sometimes appearing to be younger can be beneficial, right? And it can allow you to be introduced to certain people and move through certain situations and get introduced to certain doors. But sometimes appearing to be older and more mature can make it easier and or to for people to take you seriously in certain situations. So like I was at this event in Atlanta with it was this tech event. So I was just having this conversation with somebody. But the reason why and I was talking to them for like 30 minutes about their business. But the reason why she told me this, she said the reason why we're talking so long is because you seem mature. And she was like, how old are you? I was like, how old do you think I am? She's like, 22. I'm like, ooh, if I got to be 22, I'm 22. So it was like appearing, whatever age you have to be in a certain moment, just be that age. It is what it is. You know, some people might think you're 15. Some people might think you're 25. And also in your personal life, it could be very beneficial, but we keep it business here.
Okay. But yeah, I've had those instances too where like people think that I'm older than I am. Right. I think I was a freshman. This was before COVID, and we were just walking around, and I had this friend, she's a year older than me, so she's a senior this year. And we were just walking around, and she was just like asking me, she was like, oh, so you're a junior, right? And I was like, I'm most definitely a freshman. So that's one instance. And then over the summer this year, I was helping my friend Trinity, and she was having this like fashion show event that she wanted me to MC. So I was like, okay.
Right.
And we were just outside taking pictures because it was afterwards and it was like golden hours. I was like, we gotta take pictures. And Ooh. Then I think this one guy who I think he was doing photography for the event as well. I guess he just saw me out there. He was like, I can take some pictures for you. And I was like, oh, that's great. So we were just taking pictures. It was fine. And we started talking and he was like, oh, I go to school. This was in New Jersey. And he's like, oh, I go to school here. I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, I'm a junior. And then we talked. It was like me, him, and my mom. We're talking for like maybe 5 more minutes after that. And then we're starting to talk about high school. And he was like, oh, you're a junior in high school? I was like, what did you think I meant? And he was like, like an upcoming junior since it was over the summer. But I was like, what did you think I meant? He was like, I thought you were a junior in college. I was like, no, no. But like things like that. But I guess I can agree with you. Like in terms of business, sometimes it's better to be older. Sometimes it's better to be younger. Yeah.
Exactly. So you have to use the tools that you were given.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I guess I did. So, okay. Catch us up. What have you been up to since February, since I last interviewed you? We know we have this Teen Tech Live coming up soon, which we will get back into on how people can get registered and things like that. But what have you been up to otherwise?
We talked in February. So I think when we talked, was it February or March?
It was February.
Okay. So
and I was wearing that blue shirt and you're like, I got to change. And you had to put your turtleneck on.
Oh, okay. All right. I think I remember. At that time, I think we were working on the first Teen Tech Live #1.
Oh, wow.
And so we had just done it. Right. It was February 26th. It was a Friday. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And so we were working on our first one. So we had just came off of that. It was a successful event. We had 7,000 participants, had a great gaming tournament, great overall, great overall session. And so from there, I ended up starting to continue my speaking engagements, continuing my after school program, because we were doing a new nerd computer science and personal development program, which was amazing. And so we continued doing that till June. In June, I spoke at Mr. Steve Harvey's foundation camp, his virtual camp. So that was a great opportunity. And then later on, or the week later, I ended up hosting an event for Space Jam 2 to promote it with Microsoft and Warner Brothers. And it was at FaZe Clan's headquarters, the gaming company. And so that was a great opportunity. We did that in Los Angeles, continued doing the new nerd computer science and personal development program during the summer. And yeah, I'm really like, over this whole time, I've been like working on Strictly Dream Hustle Code things, but I'm like slowly preparing to become an adult because I just turned 17 in August, or whatever age I need to be in August. Uh-huh, right. Uh-huh. But but I'm about to be an adult next year. I'm graduating high school. And so it's like, man, I got to start paying bills. I got to start doing these things, more mature. I mean, so yes, it there is some pressure with it. But I understand that if I just do the necessary things I have to do now, I'll be fine. But that's what I've been up to in the last 3 months, straight Teen Tech Live 2.0. Oh, and I also launched the book. Not really a book. It's really a tool. So I created what's called this daily log. And this is something that was revolutionary for my whole entire life. I'm gonna speak up on this. My dad taught me how to manage my time at a young age, and he named it the daily log. And so I took it, ran with it, and just made it better because, you know, it was in its infant stages. Nothing wrong with my dad. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. I had to make it better. But I made it a little better, and so I made a book at it, about it, because that was the key things that I taught my classes. If you could learn anything, I'd rather you learn how to manage your time, because if you don't know how to manage your time, what makes you think you can manage $1 million, right?
True.
If you can't manage something that you were given from day one, what makes you think you can manage something else? So it's like your time is your greatest asset. So I made this daily log really to just help kids or help people in general. It doesn't matter how old you are, to learn, understand the value and learn how to just manage it. And so I made it. It's called the daily log. I published it. Well, I'm working on making it a little bit better because there are some tweaks that needed to be made.
Are you looking at any colleges and things like that since you are going to be graduating soon?
So that's very interesting. So it feels kind of a little weird to say this, but I'm still getting used to saying it. I'm taking what's called a gap year, but really I'm using that time to focus on more of the work for Dream Hustle Code. Because next summer we're working on taking our second edition of our second Visionscape tour, where we take a group of kids from the Chicagoland area or even other areas possibly to Silicon Valley so they can visit tech companies. Of course, if you know the pandemic is almost wiring down, if not finished. But also, we are working on, or I'm working on doing a speaking tour at 7 different HBCUs next fall, right? And because it will be promoting a book that I'm writing about on the lessons that I've learned across throughout my whole entire journey, and also, you know, the experiences or whatever. But we're going to be using that to promote that book at 7 different HBCUs next fall. That's going to be a whole project in and of itself. Plus, we're working on Teen Tech Live 3 at an actual HBCU campus, because Teen Tech Live was supposed to be an in-person event, but because of the pandemic, obviously we had to go virtual. So now we're going to do our first in-person Teen Tech Live, hopefully at an HBCU campus. We're working on 3 of them, or 3 to 5 of them, but we'll finalize them when the time comes. So yeah, that's a lot of projects in 1 year that I'm working on top of trying to transition to becoming an adult. So I am definitely taking that gap year because I didn't just need that time to focus on DHC. Mm-hmm. But that's the plan for the future. If you ask me anything past 2 years, I have no clue. I don't really, I got a plan, but I don't know what it's going to look like. But yeah, that's what I have so far, especially right after graduating high school.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, like, I don't know, like, I mean, do you have a negative view on a gap year?
The negative? Oh,
like, do you, because you said, like, you felt kind of weird mentioning it. I think there's no problem with taking a gap year because, like, you know, people got to figure things out. And, like, you know, you said you're designating most of that time for a Dream Hustle Code, which is awesome. But, like, you said it in, like, a hesitant kind of way. So, like,
nah, I just don't like the name of it, honestly. I'm cool with saying, hey, yo, I ain't going to focus. Yeah. But there's the name is different saying it now, because it's like, number one, when I was younger, I was like, the plan was to go to college until like within the last 3 to 2 years. I'm like, all right, maybe I'm not going my first year. But really, it's just the name. I have no issue with saying, oh, yeah, I'm not going next year. It's just saying gap year is just like, ooh, that sounds has a little twist to it. I don't know how I feel about it. So
I get what you mean by that. And one more question before we get more into like your Teen Tech Live stuff. What is your favorite thing about what you do?
Ooh, favorite thing. Hold on.
Favorite thing.
I haven't been asked this before. I don't think so. Have I? No, I don't think so. What is my favorite?
Thanks for being a good host.
favorite thing. Ah, that's tough. I think it is my favorite thing. All right, I'm going to give you a couple things. There's not one specific thing. Okay. I can't do that. It's impossible right now. Well, number one would be the impact, obviously, because that's the whole reason why I've been able to stick with this for 8 years. It's just, again, seeing the people's lives that I've been able to touch and seeing the results that came from it. That's truly amazing. Like, I have a whole Discord for all the kids that are, or a Discord server for all the kids in my program that have been through my computer science and personal development program. Like, I just be talking to them every single day, right? Some kids, like we were just talking about one of my students, their football team went to the finals, right? They're playing in the championship. And so hearing those stories, one kid was like, yo, I was about to give up on something. But because of the personal development, I stuck with it. And now I'm a beast. One of my students, Jamil, he was having issues, like confidence issues with playing football in the beginning of the season. He was doing a little bad. Now he hit sticking people at 4'8", getting picks.
Wow.
It's like you're going crazy because of the personal development and computer science portion. Right, but just having those stories and just seeing the impact, I'm like, man, that's definitely worth it. That's one of my favorite parts. Also, the freedom. I mean, being able to take more control of not only the business but also my life. It feels like it. I'm forced to mature more, which can be a negative and a positive because I could get lazy and just fall off and just be like, oh, well, too bad.
Yeah.
It sucks. But it forces me to be a better person. And I'm super competitive. That's just who I am. And so having more control of my life, it forces me to be more disciplined, forces me to get the things I know I have to get done. And then it forces me to just look towards the future and plan ahead. So I love the freedom and I also love the impact. And plus the opportunities, being able to meet some amazing people and all that other stuff. That's pretty cool. But I also like the fact that, you know what's really cool? I like the free stuff. Some of the free things, you know, like the free bags and stuff like that. that's honestly one of my favorite things. It's a lot of favorite things. Jeez.
Yeah.
Come on, Sydney. Why are you asking me a question like that?
What is bringing out of you? Let my listeners know how passionate you are about what you do, which I
well, okay. Let me turn it on you real quick. What's your favorite thing about the podcast?
Oh my word. Well, I like a lot of things. Like, I love a lot of things about my podcast. It's been a year and some change. And it's changed me in ways that I don't think I'd ever like see myself in. And, you know, like growing in confidence and things like that, like we were talking about earlier, and just like seeing myself in places where I didn't think I'd go. Because like up until I started this, like all I wanted to do was dance, which is fine because like dance is my passion and things like that. But so is my podcast. So it just opened up a lot of opportunities to me. And like, again, when you get to interview different people from around the country and hopefully around the world soon, like that do things like all the time that they're passionate about and learning about them, it lets me know, I'm like, all these things exist that I can see myself in. And it's like really interesting to see. And like, I can agree with you on like the whole impact thing. The first time I did a solo episode, I think it was around this time last year. I think I was closing up my first season. Okay. And I was just like completely vulnerable and just like honest with like my listeners or whoever was listening to that episode. And people have like told me and they're like, Sydney, like it was like so impactful. And like, I can relate to everything that you're talking about. I'm like, no way. Like, I thought I was just talking out of my butt because like, you never really know what other people are going through. And so I just wanted to be like a real example of that. The world isn't always like, you know, like smiles and rainbows all the time. Like sometimes there's like a lot of hard stuff that goes on. So I wanted to be like an example of that. And just seeing the impact from that, it's just been great. And again, like the opportunities and the people that I've met. So there's a lot of favorite things that I like about this podcast, and especially the freedom, because I can talk about literally anything. And so and just like using my platform the way I want it to, but I want to use it in a way that is beneficial to others. So, you know, I think that's my favorite part about this.
And in one piece where you spoke about the being vulnerable people, that really what really made people, well, in my opinion, and I think others will agree with me on this one, but the reason why I feel like people were able to connect with you is because you were being authentic, right?
Yeah.
You were really showing that true side of you. And in this world of social media, you can never tell like what's real and what's not.
Really can't, yeah.
That's like sometimes, that's why sometimes I just feel like deleting Instagram, deleting Twitter, and just hopping off sometimes.
I deleted Snapchat. It's been almost an entire 6 months. And it
really?
It has been like the best decision I've ever made.
Because you just feel more peaceful.
Yeah, I'm going to make it to a year and see how I feel. Because I deleted it back in May.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only supposed to be for a month. And I was like, I'm going to see how I feel about this and things like that. And I just never got it back. And so people ask me, they're like, oh, let me get your staff. I'm like, I'm not on Snap anymore. And they're like, why? And then I explain. And they're like, yeah, you're right. And so like, they're like, yeah, Snap really does feel like a chore. And like, I'm like, then why do you still have it? But
because you know what it is? People are following others and they just want to be a part of the group.
Exactly. That was like, oh, my friends have it. That's another huge part. I can go on a tangent about this. I'll probably have to bring you back so we can talk about this too. But why don't we go back into Teen Tech Live and all of the amazing stuff that's going on with that. So how can my listeners get registered and be a part of this event?
So this event is open to everyone, but if you are a student, you go to school, homeschool, whatever. If you're a student, the best way to get signed up, because this is a virtual event and because this is on a school day, is to get your teachers or your principals on board to sign up your classes or your entire schools. The website that you can go to is teentech.live. Just type that in your browser extension or whatever browser you're using. Again, it's teentech.live. Again, if you're a student, have your teachers sign the entire class up so that you're not missing class or skipping out of class to come watch this. We would love that, but you can't do that or else you're going to get in trouble. Or get your principals to sign you up, teentech.live. And again, if you are, or if you're an adult, you can just sign up for yourself or your child as well, who is at school. But if you have any questions, comments about the event, you can email us at collaborate@dreamhustlecode. Collaborate at dreamhustlecode for more information. Or you can just go to our website, www.dreamhustlecode.com or teentech.live. What else am I missing? One last thing for the kids. There will be prizes, not only for the gaming tournament, there'll be a prize pool of $5,000. You're going to want to get into that if you're a gamer, but also there will be giveaways throughout the whole entire Teen Tech Live event. So we'll be giving away cash prizes, and other things for the viewers of actual Teen Tech Live. So make sure you sign up again, teentech.live for more information.
Please come. I think it'll be an amazing opportunity. And, you know, I'm so happy that Ian has asked me to help co-host with things like that with our friend Desi as well. And so that's going to be really exciting. And there's going to be a lot of really important people on there talking about inspirational things about like how they got into this field and, you know, like millionaires and things like that and what they've done in like the tech world and things like that. And so I think it'll be a good opportunity for people that don't really know what they want to do or if they think that tech is something that they might want to get into. So if you guys are interested in that, please sign up. I could not push that more out to you. But before we go, because we are way over time, but anyways, I like to call these rapid. Did I do rapid fire questions with you? I think I did.
I think we did. I'm pretty sure we did last time.
Yeah, they're not rapid fire. I just call them that. But all right. Let's just get straight into this. So what is your biggest pet peeve?
One thing that I don't like is because this has happened to us a lot, is when people either don't take you seriously or like they push you off to the side just because either A, they don't know you or they just, you just a nobody, so here, right? Yeah. And it's like, it's so frustrating, especially when you're on the come up, because like, especially for those who are trying to do something that's really impactful, like Dream Hustle Code, that is one thing that I just hate. And whenever, you know, somebody reaches out about an opportunity to do something or speak or do whatever with them, I always try and at least listen to what they're going to say before I just push them off to the side, because I know I don't like the way it feels when it happened to us, because we went through like 5-6 years of that. We just got to the point where like now we're, you know, our name is kind of has a little bit of, you know, there's actually something behind the name of Dream Hustle Code. And it's not just, an up-and-coming program or up-and-coming company. But that's one thing that is like, it's irritating, but you got to go through it. I just wish sometimes people would just at least listen before they push you to the side. Another one. All right. So personal life. Okay. One thing that like kind of irks me a little bit is just when people just like got attitudes for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like they just either that or they're stuck up. I hate that too. I hate those.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like when people have those, I get some people have like really bad days, and it's like, of course, everybody has those types of days. But when you just like angry just because, it's like, all right, like, come on, like, look, just be a little bit more happier. Come on, let's be happy. Yeah. You alive? Get to breathe. We woke up this morning, you know. Life could be way worse, but that's another, that's kind of one thing. I'm not saying be happy, be, you know, be part of Disney, like you're on Disney Channel every single day. No, but at least, you know, don't come out being super duper angry. Try and think of what you're grateful for instead of having an attitude.
If you had one meal to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, okay. So there's a spot called Bonefish Grill right by my place. I love this place. It's so good. They have this dip called the Imperial Dip. Oh, it is the best thing on this planet. So what I would have is I would have my grandma's mac and cheese, right, with the Imperial Dip on the side. Mm-hmm. Then let me get some mashed potatoes with a little bit of sour cream on top. And then for the either the meat, I probably get three of them, you know, because I like eating a lot. Let me get steak, right? That's number one. Mm-hmm. Let me get fettuccine with either shrimp or something else. And then let's see, what's the third one? Some sort of fish. Maybe my mom's salmon. Boom. Let me get my mom's salmon. And that's a whole meal. People are like, that's not no meal. That's like a whole, that's for the village. What are you talking about? It's my meal and I'm deciding. And then my drink, I'll take water because I actually like water, with those little crystal lemonade packets that I could just pour in the tart and the lemonade just in case I feel like it. So yeah, that's the meal. Sounds good. Oh,
that's valid.
I'm gonna go give me some Bonefish Grill this weekend. Hold up.
If you won $1 million tomorrow, what would you spend it on?
You know what's crazy? I was just having this conversation with my dad literally last night. Kid you not, we were just talking about this. All right, so this is by no way, shape, or form financial advice at all. All right, but what I would do is, first thing I'm doing is getting an accountant and a lawyer. I got to figure out what I got to do. True. How am I going to pay taxes? Right. I need somebody to help me navigate through the legal system, yada, yada, yada. Figure out what to do there. And my dad put me on game. He said, all right, well, you're going to do what you should do is put it in your bank account, whether it created savings in a checking account. And since now you have probably, now that you spend a little bit of money, you got 900K, get a credit card, because since you have a lot of money to your name, liquid, now you can get higher limits on the credit card. And by then I'll be 18, hopefully, so that I can actually get one. And so I'll probably get a limit with like 100K plus. Take that money, invest it all in the real estate. And then once I invest in real estate, cash flow, get that money coming in every month, because I love real estate. That's another way I'm going to start investing my money. Refinance it out so that basically what it means is get a loan on the house that I own. And then what that loan is going to do is, if my house is worth like 300K or all the houses I own are worth 900K, since I refinance it, I have $900,000, but I don't have to pay taxes on it. Why? Because it's debt, and you ain't got to pay taxes on no debt. So I got tax-free $900,000 to my name with three properties. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to use that 900K to do whatever. Maybe go take a trip. Oh, I'm going to take my grandma to Hawaii because she said she wanted to go there. And then that's it. That's the trip right there. And then take mine to Dubai because she's looking at me crazy right now. So yeah, no, that's the plan.
How is this not financial advice? Because that's not what I would do. I wouldn't be reckless, but like, I would not have thought like, man, I'm going to be an accountant. Maybe like once I turn 18, I'm like, dang, right. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe then I'll turn to it. But before that, I know I would save like more than half into savings and then just do whatever the heck else with the rest of that. But that's a good idea.
Okay, so like, look, and again, I can't say this is financial advice legally. A bunch of YouTubers been saying that, so I'm gonna say it now because I don't want to get in trouble. But a great book for like that you can read on that would give you actual financial advice. And it's an older book, but it's called The Richest Man in Babylon. It tells you how you should earn, what you should do to earn money, and how to grow your money even further. That was probably like the best personal development financial book I've read, and I've applied like at least 5 things that I learned from that book. It's crazy, and I've seen my money grow since then. So that's a great book, The Richest Man in Babylon. It's kind of like the Bible, like the way they write it. So it might be a little confusing at times, but it's a really good book, and I enjoy it.
So, what is your favorite childhood memory?
You know. Okay, a good childhood memory. This was like 5 years ago. This is something that was recent that I actually remember was when I was in seventh grade. I was playing basketball for my team, for my school team, and we won the championship, barely making the playoffs. So like we were struggling all season long. I was like 4'11 at the time. Everyone else was like 6 inches taller than me. But yeah, I was like, I was like the second most in scoring on my team and had the most steals or whatever. And we barely made it but one, and we were celebrating like crazy. Our big man got punched in the face and was bleeding in the game, and we still managed to pull it off, right? But that was probably a great moment because I was like, man, that it feels good to win, obviously.
But thank you so much, Ian. Before you go, how can my listeners listen and follow you?
So you can, again, sign up for Teen Tech Live, teentech.live. That is the website. Just type it in your web browser, whatever you're using, phone, tablet, et cetera, et cetera. You can also follow me on Instagram at Dream Hustle Code or on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Dream Hustle Code, as well as that's and YouTube as well. Ooh, we're trying to figure out how we could do for the YouTube channel as well. And also for the email to for more information on Teen Tech Live or for like principals or teachers to sign up, the email is friends at eteentech.live. Let me say that again because that might be a little confusing. Friends at the letter E, teentech.live. Email us there for more information on how you can get involved or for any more information about the event. And yeah, be sure to stay in touch. I think that's all the social medias, all the plugs. I think that's it. And that's pretty much. Thanks for having me, Sydney. I really do appreciate it. You know, it's great to be back. I might be back a third time in, who knows, another 6-7 months. We'll see.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Ian. Of course, it's always a pleasure to have you on. And again, maybe we'll bring you around for a round three, another part. But thank you so much. And thank you to my listeners for joining me. And this is Perfect Timing.